You're listening to NPR.
Last year, the last male northern white rhinoceros died in Kenya, and his fellow rhinos had previously died off because of a reduction in territory and a huge increase in poaching.
Before he died, though, Oliver Withers had a chance to visit him. Oliver is the head of conservation finance and enterprise at the Zoological Society of London.
And that's the end of the northern white rhino.
Yeah.
It happened, and we all felt very sorry and said never again, but nothing's changing.
Nothing's changing because rhinos have an economics problem, and the problem is wiping them out.
See, rhino horns are worth a small fortune to poachers, and protecting rhinos from poachers itself takes a small fortune. You need armed guards, you need fences.
So Oliver and his team at the Zoological Society started to think about a different way to raise money for rhinos. The solution they came up with? Rhino bonds.
Bonds, like from financial markets.
Yeah, rhino bonds.
You know, a bond that people can invest in with the expressed purpose of putting more rhinos in the world. In this case, more black rhinos.
This is The Indicator from Planet Money. I'm Stacey Vanek Smith.
And I'm Cardiff Garcia. Today on the show, the Conservation Impact Bond, a.k.a. the rhino bond.
Rhino bonds. It's a new approach to conservation, basically taking the financial markets into the wild.
So in this episode, we are going to look at how the rhino bond actually works and whether it will work. And also, what's the controversy behind the bond itself?
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Fundrise, the future of real estate investing. Access private market real estate projects from high-rises in D.C. to multifamily apartments in L.A. Get your first 3 months of fees waived at fundrise.com/indicator.
Support also comes from KPMG. Revolutionize your enterprise with AI. KPMG can help you harness the power of AI to unlock its potential and deliver growth. More at read.kpmg.us/NPR.
Today's indicator is 5,500. That is roughly the number of black rhinos left on the planet. Back in 1970, there were around 70,000.
Oliver Withers says the main reason that number has gotten so low is poaching.
You know, we're talking about an animal that's walking around with a couple of bars of gold on its head. Just wandering around the bush.
Ounce for ounce, rhino horn is one of the most expensive substances on the planet. It's sold as a cure for various ailments in Vietnam and China, and it's also used to make decorative carvings.
Oliver says one horn is easily worth more than $100,000, and that's just a huge incentive for poachers. On the other side, it takes money to protect the rhinos from poachers. You need fences, security systems, armed guards.
The problem with current efforts to save and protect the rhinos, says Oliver, is that all this takes a lot of coordination, constant vigilance, day and night.
Poaching, that is actually quite a difficult thing to budget for, right?
It's criminal syndicates who are trying to maximize profits. They don't send a memo to the protected area to say we're coming over the western fence at midnight tonight.
The other problem, says Oliver, is that the current system does not tend to focus on long-term goals. Everyone is just kind of scrambling to make it from day to day. The money comes in a bit at a time and then just immediately goes to whatever is needed in the moment. So it makes it hard to plan and to get ahead.
The result? Fewer and fewer rhinos in the world. And Oliver is a finance and economics guy, and he says the plight of the rhinos just really strikes him as a very classic economic problem.
The way to look at it is imagine you're in the mythical economics 101 widget factory. You make widgets. In this case, we're making rhinos.
And this is where the rhino bond comes in.
Oliver and his colleagues got a team of conservationists together across five parks in Kenya and South Africa. The conservationists then put together a plan laying out what they would need to guarantee that fewer rhinos got poached and more baby rhinos got born. Altogether, it's about $50 million. That's what they would need.
That $50 million will come from investors. Investors who want to make a profit and who want to see more rhinos. And so here's how it works. Investors will buy a five-year bond, $50 million worth altogether. At the end of 5 years, these investors will get their money back with a little extra.
But that's only if the bond succeeds. And the bond succeeds if the number of rhinos in the five parks reaches a certain threshold.
Cash on the rhino.
Cash on the rhino. That's probably how they sold it. Right now, there are about 700 rhinos in those five parks. Oliver says that in 5 years, they expect there to be about 220 more rhinos.
Of that 220 additional rhino, we believe that we can attribute probably 100 of those to the Rhino Impact Fund.
So 100 extra rhinos at the end of 5 years. Because of the coordinated team efforts, the infusion of cash up front that allows for the long-term planning and a focused team. Now, if the number of rhinos does not meet the bond's promise, investors lose money. But if the number of black rhinos does meet the bond's promise, investors can feel like they really made a difference and they'll get their money back, plus a bit extra, a profit for the risk they took.
And that money, the money to pay back those investors, will come from us, really, from governments and taxpayers all over the world. Oliver and his team are looking to governments and foundations for the money to back this bond.
It does seem a little strange that, like, the public sector would be potentially paying investors for taking a, like, a risk with money.
The reality is that we've seen that money be invested into biodiversity. We haven't achieved the results we expected. If we use some of that to pay investors for taking on that risk, the public's actually better off.
Oliver says that to this point, governments and foundations have been donating money with no guarantee of results. And the results, frankly, have not been great. Under this new model, the bond model, wealthy investors take all the risk. They buy the bonds and hope that the rhinos proliferate. They put up the $50 million.
If the rhino numbers do meet expectations, then and only then will the governments and taxpayers pay out. They will pay back the investors who bought the bonds. If the rhino numbers fall short, the investors lose money and the governments don't pay anything at all. Still, Oliver says, governments have been skeptical of this and slow to sign on.
Investors, though, they've been jumping at the idea. Glenn Jeffries is with Conservation Capital. He's the finance manager for the Rhino Impact Bond. He says that interest from private investors has been overwhelming. And that's good news, he says, because investors will want to see where their money has gone. They're going to want to track how it's used, and that is going to bring rigor and accountability to conservation spending.
Whereas often you may see that conservation donating overheads may be quite high or very difficult to calculate. There's no hiding under this model. It's very clear what things cost and where they cost.
Is there a danger with results-based models? It kind of creates an incentive to, you know, maybe potentially game the system in ways that aren't the best thing for the system.
Interesting question. I don't have an answer. I think that there's always a danger around focusing solely on the end result rather than the journey. I think because in this context, we are counting rhinos, if there are more rhinos, that's a very positive result.
Still, ecosystems are incredibly complicated. Focusing on one animal could end up being problematic, create unexpected issues, put pressure on other species. Still, Glenn has faith in this plan, and ultimately he hopes to use this model to achieve more holistic, larger scale results.
The ultimate goal here, I think, is to do this at a whole protected area level.
Like the Great Barrier Reef or something like that.
You've got exactly. This is exactly the sort of thing that we want to aim for. That said, we have to get this one right first.
Oliver Withers of the Zoological Society, he's especially glad that they've started with rhinos because he grew up in South Africa, seeing them all the time. He says he just has a soft spot for them.
As somebody said to me, they're very moody.
They're moody? Like they're cranky?
Yeah, they're just, you know, grumpy old men. Just want to be kind of left alone to eat their food. They're not going to walk very far. They're not as large as the elephants, and they're not fast, etc. But they're just this, you know, closest thing in my mind that we have back to dinosaurs almost. You know, there's this whole kind of modern campaign around chubby unicorns, which is also what they are.
Oliver and Glenn say the chubby unicorn bond will hopefully hit the market early next year. This episode was produced by Darius Rafieyan, edited by Patty Hirsch, and fact-checked by Emily Lang. The Indicator is a production of NPR.